When Federico Fellini's La Dolce Vita came out in 1960, it became an immediate international sensation. But it hasn't always been easy to see. Now, after years in illegal no man's land, this most desired of all video releases has just been released on DVD. Critic at large John Power says this new DVD prompted him to rethink his original opinion of the film.
If you're like me, you may rebel a bit when you hear something called a classic. I don't know how many times I've turned up at some revival house with uncomfortable seats and sticky floors, only to be disappointed by a movie I was supposed to bow down to. I remember that happening with La Dolce Vita, perhaps the most famous foreign film, and surely the most famous foreign film title of all time. Sure, Federico Fellini's movie had some amazing scenes, but still, its party sequences were interminable. I've spent decades thinking the picture wildly overrated. But one great joy of our exploding DVD culture is that it's now easy to discover or rediscover old movies in your living room. The other night, I gave La Dolce Vita another chance on a gorgeous new two-disc version. And though the party scenes remained tedious, deliberately so, its vision of La Dolce Vita, the sweet life, seemed far more potent today than when I saw the movie in the 1970s. It really is a classic. In the role that defined him, the incomparable Marcello Mastroianni stars as Marcello, a world-weary society reporter who spends his nights mingling with, and digging up gossip on, a second-rate collection of aristocrats, celebrities, and millionaires. A born observer, Marcello drifts through his life, temporarily attracted to various women, each of whom represents some aspect of his psyche. His suicidal fiancée, a promiscuous society girl played by Anouk Aimée, a freewheeling movie star played by the startlingly buxom Anita Ekberg, and a young woman from the provinces who hasn't yet lost her innocence. As Marcello glides between parties, orgies, and nightclubs, even taking his own father out on a bender, we wonder if he'll ever act on his awareness that he's wasting his life and not following his dreams of doing something worthwhile. La Dolce Vita is shot through with a pervasive sense of sin, a vision of the fallen modern world. Yet what makes it so watchable is that Fellini, who had once been a reporter just like Marcello, feels no superiority to this world. He himself was always drawn to luxury, fleshy pleasure, great music, here by Nino Rota, and above all, an absolute delight in spectacle. The movie contains two of the most famous scenes in film history. The action begins with a helicopter carrying a huge statue of Christ aloft over Rome, a scene later sent up in Steve Martin's L.A. Story, where the same thing happens to an enormous hot dog. Later, Ekberg's actress wades into the Trevi Fountain, where she's joined by Marcello in his tightly cut suit. On the worst day of his life, Fellini knew that only a monk wouldn't enjoy splashing around in a fountain with a voluptuous blonde. That scene builds to an unforgettable moment when Ekberg asks Marcello to just listen. What Fellini gives him to hear is magnificent. Absolute silence. La Dolce Vita came out in 1960, and certain aspects of it are dated, like the use of prancing homosexuals, whose mere existence is treated as a symptom of decadence. But in other ways, Fellini was ahead of the cultural game. 44 years ago, he was already suggesting that society was being led astray by a media culture obsessed with trivia about celebrities. That's why it's so fitting that those iconic figures of our tabloid age, the paparazzi, should take their name from Marcello's comrade Paparazzo, a photographer who's always turning up to get shots of the latest scandal. There is, of course, something too easy about the irony that the sweet life should actually be sour. I once scoffed at the film's moralistic suggestion that affluence makes you empty and corrupt, and I agreed with critic Pauline Kael that Fellini's image of what she called the sick soul of Europe was essentially a joyless cliché. But these days, we live in a culture that serves up a very different cliché. It tells us that wealth and fame are the purpose of life, that Paris Hilton and Donald Trump are role models, and that it's as easy for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven as for a Hummer to run a red light. I don't know about you, but I think I like the old cliché better.
John Powers is film critic for Vogue and author of Sore Winners.